make sure that you do register for Audition Hero. It's our workshop that we do a handful of times throughout the year. If you have any struggles or any anxiety with auditions, or maybe your auditions are killing it, but you just want to kill it a little bit more, this is an opportunity for you to up-level your entire audition systems and processes and your community that you work with as well. You'll have an opportunity to meet actors from across the world. Go to laughingvikings.com/auditionhero and you can register for that. We're going to start it on July 21st. We do those trainings live, but if you miss it, as long as you're registered, you'll get access to the replays as soon as they're up. But if you're there live, you're going to have an opportunity to win prizes and bonuses and all kinds of fun stuff. And the end of that Audition Hero workshop leads to the doors open in our next enrollment for Actors Audition Club. And you can jump the line and go directly to the front by going to laughingvikings.com/join. That's laughingvikings.com/join. And you'll get front of the line access. You'll be the first notified when we open those doors. You'll get access to some fast acting bonuses for getting enrolled. And you'll just hear about things that you wouldn't have heard about if you weren't on the VIP waitlist. So go to laughingvikings.com/join and you can hop on board.
Laughing Vikings Live. High vibe chats with actors, comedians, and creators, plus stand-up comedy, sketch comedy, and most importantly, you. That's right. Join us every Monday for new episodes, and you can be a part of the show on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and Twitch. Ask questions and interact in the comments. And make sure to share this with your actor, comedian, and creator friends so they can be a part of the show too. Can't make a live show? No problem. You can catch up on your favorite podcast platform and visit laughingvikings.com to find out how you can join the cast and crew. All right, it's time for today's show. Buckle up and make sure you stick around to the end because we have a special surprise for you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is Laughing Vikings Live. Happy Monday Fun Day. Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in to episode 94 of Laughing Vikings Live. I am your producer and co-host, BK Broiler, a.k.a. Fort Knox, a.k.a. Brandon Knox, a.k.a. we could go on and on all day. But let me introduce you to your host, your captain of Laughing Vikings, if you will. He is said to have been born in an alley, maybe one that's fairly close by. You know him, you love him. Please put your hands together for Joe Lars Larson, everyone.
That was hilarious. Yeah.
No, I'm telling you, we have no more tickets. Comedy Alley is sold out. You got to reserve your seats faster. We only have 20 tickets available. Oh, hey, I didn't realize the podcast was on. Are we podcasting right now?
We are podcasting, Lars.
Oh, I was just talking with the president of Hollywood. He was trying to get tickets to Comedy Alley, but I told him he needs to book those in advance,
doesn't he?
I also told him it's about time for the matriarch, matriarchy to be involved in. Maybe we need a female president of Hollywood too.
Yeah.
He didn't like that very much.
Anyways,
I got to go, president of Hollywood. I'm doing a podcast.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Best of luck to you. Again, we are sold out. We're not quite sold out, but it's kind of a douche.
I get that. We don't want douches here. Not at Comedy Alley.
So welcome. Here we are. This is podcast time, episode 94.
Mm-hmm. Or as I like to say, the Ryan Smith episode, the Edmonton Oiler player.
I don't know if you can say that. You can't stretch it that far. It works when it's like something very like that everyone knows, but who knows?
Hey, people know Ryan Smith. People in Edmonton know Ryan Smith.
If this was an Edmonton Oilers / NHL podcast, people might, but I feel like people aren't. Even last week's episode, the number 93 Doug Gilmore episode, that's Doug Gilmore's also a little dated now. You could go, if this was a baseball episode, you could say this is episode 94, a.k.a. the strike year episode.
I don't get the...
Exactly. That's why this is not a good thing to do.
I get what you're saying.
1994 was the year that Major League Baseball went on strike. And when they did so, the Montreal Expos were in first place. And I think the Jays were up there too. It could have potentially been an all-Canadian final.
Oh.
But who cares? It has nothing to do with anything.
Not this podcast anyway.
So don't worry about it. This is just the nonsensical ramblings of the beginning of a podcast. But welcome to everyone who's tuning in. If you're on Facebook, maybe you're on YouTube, maybe you're on Twitch. We're doing it right now every Wednesday at 6. So thank you for tuning in. And if you're just listening with your ears only and your eyes are not involved, thank you for subscribing on your favorite podcast platform. And if you hadn't smashed that subscribe button, smash it. Smash it good. That's what the kids are saying. Smash that like button. Smash it. Get a big wooden mallet. Get one of those big oversized Gallagher mallets, the ones that he used to smash watermelons with, and smash that like button. Smash that subscribe button.
Yeah.
We have a cool thumbs up. We have a conspiracy theorist here, a baseball conspiracy theorist. I'm not sure who it is. Facebook user says, my theory is the Americans didn't want a Canadian team to repeat as champions. Would have been three in a row. You're right. A lot of people felt that way. They're like, we need to shut down baseball because these Canadians are stealing all our money.
How many teams in the MLB have gone for a three-peat?
I think maybe only the Yankees have ever three-peated. I'm not sure. Really? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a difficult thing to do, and it would have been
it's very rare incredible in all Toronto. Sports. But
yeah,
and Theodoros, this is maybe my favorite comment of all time. Theodoros Sanidis. I'm probably butchering that. I apologize. Theodoros S. That's a good sounds like a good Greek name. If I've got my name's etymology correct, sounds Greek to me. He says, this podcast is currently the best thing on Wednesday. Thank you, Theo. Thank you. And everything else on Wednesday, we're so sorry. So sorry for you, but this is the best thing. Mm-hmm. We do it every Wednesday. Although it's not always, it might not always be Wednesday. It might go back to Tuesday. In the future, it could be a Thursday. But we will go back to Monday. We will always let you know. It'll be weekly, though. We keep delivering the goods weekly. Of course, here at Laughing Vikings and Actors Audition Club, our mission is to uplift, inspire, and empower a global audience of 1 billion people by helping actors and comedians share their stories via TV, film, and live performances. And we do that every week here. So we got Comedy Alley rolling. We had some great shows on the weekend. Mm-hmm. We've got some great shows coming up that we're going to tell you about. This episode, we're going to talk about some audition tips. We're going to give a tip of the week. And we're also going to talk about our upcoming Audition Hero Workshop. You got to save the date for that. Should we talk about that right now?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So, listeners, if you're listening to this in real time, if you're listening to this 6 months from now, it might be different. But on July 21st, and even if you're listening to this late, you could still go to the website I'm going to give you because I'm sure there'll either be a late replay or something to sign up for. But if you are an actor that has struggled at all with auditions, specifically self-submit auditions, if you ever had any level of frustration or anxiety in how to film them, where to film them, who to get as your reader, who to get as your cameraman, who you want to edit, if you've ever found yourself at home moving furniture around, moving your dining room table around, moving lamps around, trying to figure out how to block the sun or how to get sunlight. If you've ever been bugging your spouse or your kids or your uncle or your grandparents or your neighbors to be camera operators or to be readers, if that's ever happened to you, if you've ever been stacking boxes on a table to get the camera high enough or putting your laptop on a bunch of boxes in some rickety makeshift jimmy rig tripod. This audition workshop is for you. And if you've ever been thinking to yourself like, man, I don't have enough time for auditions. Man, auditions are stressful. I wish they'd give me a few more days. or if you've been thinking to yourself, worst case scenario, when is it ever going to happen for me? When am I going to book that dream role? When am I going to be able to quit my day job, quit my Joe job, and work full-time as an actor and work full-time in the industry? And if you ever thought worst case scenario, have you ever had that recurring thought of, maybe this isn't going to work out. Maybe I need to just pack in, throw in the towel and pack it in. And maybe this just isn't something that I'm cut out for. Maybe it's not for me. All those negative thoughts that might be bouncing around in your mind. Then Audition Hero Workshop is for you. You can get registered. Go to laughingvikings.com/auditionhero. We're going to talk about how to step into your own hero mindset, how to become the hero of your own life and the hero of your own acting career. It's going to be very inspiring. We're going to talk about mindset, but we're also going to talk about tactical strategies and setting up systems and processes to your auditions so that every time you get one, you're excited and you're not anxious and concerned about how you're going to get it done. But the second that you get one in your email from your agent, or if you don't have an agent, we'll talk about how to get more auditions outside of your agent if you don't have one. The transformation there is to go from that struggling, frustrated, uncertain actor submitting unprofessional looking auditions that are all jimmy rigged, or the worst is if you're using non-professionals. Like, you think about it, you watch TV and film on TV. It's not unprofessional actors or amateur camera people. So why do you think that to get a job on a professional TV show or a professional film, you could get away with less than professional camera, lighting, sound, and a reader? It just doesn't make sense, doesn't connect. So the whole idea of this workshop is to up-level your professionalism and step into your own dream role and your own dream career. And then just lose all of that. You want to lose all that anxiety and stress. That's the telltale sign. If right now in your life, if auditioning is a stressful thing for you and brings up all kinds of anxiety and negative feelings about how am I going to get this done? Where am I going to get this done? Oh, why don't I have more time? And then you're combining that with also aspirations to have a full life and a full career in the arts and in the acting world. Well, how you get jobs in the acting world is by auditioning. So one of the first things that you can do is nail down your audition mindset, your audition process, your audition systems, so that it becomes just like a pilot or a surgeon with a checklist. The second you realize, okay, where do I got to go? If you're a pilot, he's got a checklist of things. He's got to check all the engines, check all the flaps, follow a system and process. There's not really anxiety every time a pilot gets in. Like a pilot and co-pilot don't get in and be like, oh my God, we got to fly to San Diego today. How are we going to get there? What buttons are we going to press? Who's going to do this? Who's moving the wheels? Who's closing the doors? Like, none of those things are questions. It's just, you know what you need to do every time and you're following a system. And that's something that we pride ourselves on here at Actors Audition Club, whether it's virtually via Zoom or in our studio. All of our members of Actors Audition Club don't have that stress and anxiety and questioning when they get the role of a lifetime in their email address from their agent, that they've got this huge opportunity and they need to submit this audition within 24 or 48 hours. They don't have any of those thoughts and feelings of anxiety. They just click a couple buttons on their phone or on their laptop. They book a session with a session director via Zoom or via the studio here in person. And then they have a professional reader. They have a professional camera person. The lighting is taken care of. They have someone to give them redirects that's based on actual acting knowledge and directorial knowledge and casting knowledge, rather than listening to, like, why would you aspire to be a professional actor and listen to your uncle who is not an actor and has never worked in the business and listen to what he says about your audition and listen to his feedback? That doesn't make any sense. So that's the thing that we bring to people here, is a system and a process that's repeatable. And then most importantly, that's fun. That's the biggest thing about auditioning, is if it's not fun right now, oh God, it's bad enough. It's bad enough, but at least if your auditions are fun, then every time you're seeing your auditions as an opportunity to create, an opportunity to tell a story, an opportunity to put your best foot forward and to express yourself, mm-hmm. not an exercise in anxiety and stress and depression, as too many actors seem to be able to turn auditions into. So that's what it's all about. We do this a few times a year only, and we also open up the doors to Actors Audition Club. So you can register at laughingvikings.com/auditionhero. That'll get you access to the live events. We're doing those live July 21st, starting at 2 p.m. Eastern time. Don't worry, though, if you have a weird schedule or if something comes up. If you've registered, you'll have access to all the replays. So that's Thursday, July 21st. Then we're going to go live again Tuesday, July 26th mm-hmm. and Thursday, July 28th. So for 3 days, we're going to do a workshop. We're going to have actors from all over the world tuning in. You'll have an opportunity to network and meet other actors virtually. There's going to be Q&A periods. We'll have some guest speakers. And the part of it that's a workshop, there is going to be some homework and some challenges. We'll give you guys some challenges. And there's going to be prizes and contests throughout as well. So for those of you who are able to show up live, that'll be incentivized by an opportunity for you to win Laughing Vikings prizes and Laughing Vikings and Actors Audition Club benefits and prizes too. So make sure you register for that. I'm super pumped for it. You excited?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be good. The last one was one of my, those 3 days were some of my favorite days ever. Just, it was a day for us to share everything that we have learned and share our best practices and share what we've learned from other directors and acting coaches and other casting directors from workshops that we've been in mm-hmm. and just help elevate. As we like to say, a rising tide lifts all boats. So if you are looking to have your boat lifted because you want it to float off to your dream role on Dream Role Island, instead of sinking after smashing into an iceberg on Anxiety Island, you can register. You like that one? That was a good, that was a good little analogy. Go to Dream Roll Island and not Anxiety Island. No. Make sure you register to Audition Hero. Yeah, it's going to be fun. And then at the tail end of Audition Hero, we'll also let you know how you can become a member of Actors Audition Club, which we only open the doors up to a couple times a year. We did it earlier in January. And this is our new enrollment period for this year. It might be the last one. So make sure you hop on board and you can get access to everything that our members here at Actors Audition Club get access to, mm-hmm. including the BK Broiler.
I can help you with your auditions.
That's one of the main benefits is I can guarantee you, if you become a member of Actors Audition Club, you'll get some one-on-one time with BK Broiler and he can weave his magic. You're a lot of people's good luck talisman right now as a reader and as a director. You run great sessions, you give great feedback to people, you understand casting, you understand storytelling, you make it very fun and relaxed for people. People always have a good time. I always hear lots of laughing and cajoling in the back room there.
Yes.
I want to
keep it fun. I want people to come in here and have a ton of fun when they're auditioning. Because I know for years I felt so much anxiety, so much fear going into the room, and then you do one take and then you're done. But in this room, we have a full hour or an hour and a half, depending on how many sessions you book or how much time you want to spend on it. And we can spend as much time as we can, and we can discuss several different tactics that we can use throughout the scene. We can add a couple little bits and some viewpoints, and we can add a cool moment before and a button, and we can find things that make your audition unique to you, because that is what makes you special, your uniqueness. And that's what makes people want to cast you, is when you do something that's outside the box, because it comes from you. It comes from your experiences. It comes from your love of this craft and of this work that we all strive to do, right? And that's what I want. I want people to come in here. I want them to have fun. I want to laugh with them. I want to create something that they're going to watch again and be like, I fucking nailed it. I maybe didn't have the result I wanted, but you know what? It will lead to better opportunities down the line, and I'm sure of it. We guarantee that.
I'm just going to change that banner and update it. You might have saw on your screen there, laughingvikings.com/auditionclub. That was you'll find some of the info there. But for the wait list, go to laughingvikings.com/join, and you can just skip to the front of the line when we do open the doors to Actors Audition Club in late July after that Audition Hero workshop. You'll get first access, so you can be the next cohort of actors to get enrolled here with us. I know we've already got a lot of people on the wait list. I don't know if we're going to cap it or if we're just going to let everyone in who wants to get in at that point. But to join the wait list for the next enrollment, go to laughingvikings.com/join, and you'll get early bird access to that. Any special bonuses and or price breaks, we might do some extra bonuses for people, but that'll just be for people who are on the wait list. So you can join that VIP wait list at laughingvikings.com/join. And the overall, I think the overall thing that you want to do with auditions is you want to always be putting your best foot forward to casting. Like wherever you are now as an actor, as an artist, you want that to be displayed in your audition. Obviously you have to serve the text and tell the story and follow the script and do what is asked of you in the scene. But then it's, how do you bring your uniqueness to that? How do you bring your personality? How do you personalize it? As one of our acting coaches, Tom Todoroff, says, how do you pee on it to make it yours? So that's making strong, specific choices that are unique to you and are unique to your personality. But also under the heading of being your best every time. I know that a lot of times actors will think like, oh, if only I could just be discovered, or if only I could be seen, or if they just knew what I could really do, or I wish I had.
Or like there was more of a part to, or more lines that I can read so that I can do more in the scene.
Yeah, more lines, or if I had more time, or like whatever it is. And it's just like, you just got to do the best with what you have when you have it.
Yeah.
And what you never want a scenario where you think, oh, I didn't book that. Why did I book that? Why didn't I book it? You never want it to be reasons that you had under your control. There's a million reasons that you cannot book a role, or just you're not the right physical type. You don't match someone.
I mean, there's a saying, Lars, that you can get cast because you look like somebody's brother-in-law, and you cannot get cast because you look like somebody's brother-in-law.
Yeah.
So, and it goes back to your point of like, you have no control over the casting process, but focus on the things that you can control and you'll discover your love for the business again.
Yeah. I mean, what you have control is over your performance and your professionalism and your discipline and your preparation and your lighting and your background and your sound and your wardrobe and your makeup and all of your creative choices. So we all have a ton of control. We just don't have control of everything. But you got to control what you can control, and then you just let it go after that. But what you never want to be thinking like, oh shit, that was a lead role in a new sitcom pilot and I didn't prep that much for it, or I wasn't off book, or I didn't really make specific strong choices. I phoned it in or I winged it. It's like, you got to show them your best, and you want to be winning roles too. It's like like Tom always says to us, they don't cast you. You cast you by your strong choices and by your strong performances. Or it's like that Steve Martin quote of, be so good that they can't ignore you. And that might not mean that you do your best on one audition and you book that audition. But I think everyone can agree is, if you're doing your best in every audition over time, you're going to book more roles than if you were not doing your best. Yeah. Or you'll at least know, hey, I'm in control of this game and I'm controlling what I want. There's a big thing. Part of happiness in life is do you feel like you're in control? And a lot of people, if you feel like a victim and you feel like other people are controlling you, your boss is controlling you, your family's controlling you, your partner and your love relationship's controlling you, your government's controlling you, your prison guards are controlling you, the less control you feel in your life, the less happy you're going to be in your life.
What? Prison guards?
Well,
let's go to prison guards.
At the extreme level of a lot of people who are unhappy, it's because they have no control over life and they're being controlled because they're in a prison cell or they're in a jail cell or they can't leave their country or they can't leave their house or whatever. Now, hopefully you're not in that scenario, but the key to happiness in life is realizing that you do have control, or at least controlling what you do have control over and letting go of the things that you don't have control over. And again, your preparation, your professionalism, all of that is something that you have control over. So that's what Actors Audition Club is about. That's what Actors Audition, that's what Audition Hero Workshop is about, is just elevating. How do you get to be your best so that then you're the starring leading role in your own life, in your own career, and eventually in TV, film, theater, all of those things. Mm-hmm. So we want to talk about some, we got a little audition tip of the week, just a little teaser thing. We, Brandon and I both trained with Todorov Conservatory. Brandon's a member of the weekly Zoom workshops every week for over a year. I was a member of those for over a year before joining their 8-month conservatory, which I just completed. And I'll be jumping back into their Saturday workshop. But Tom uses a system of what he refers to, and Michael Shurtleff in the book Audition, which if you want to go get a book, if there's one audition Bible, it's this by Michael Shurtleff. And Michael Shurtleff was the casting director for Bob Fosse and
David Merritt,
was a casting director on Broadway and Hollywood, cast all kinds of famous movies, discovered a bunch of famous people on Broadway. And has broken it down into what are called guideposts. So we often refer to those here in the studio. But the thing we wanted to talk about today is there's different ways to refer to it, but the moment before and the moment after, or the button, or as Tom often refers to it, as first impressions and last looks. And what that comes down to psychologically is there's also a term called primacy effect and recency effect. And what that is we remember the first thing we see or hear, we remember the last thing we see or hear, and the middle is kind of the middle. It's kind of muddy. Like if you went to any performance or any speech, the opening move, the opening thing, the opening speech, always going to be indelible in your mind if it was done well. And same thing, the very last line, that mic drop moment, that last finishing move, if it was a wrestling match or something like that, or like a sports thing, it's like you're going to remember the walk-off homer and you're going to remember the lead-off homer, but you're not going to remember all the hits between the second and the eighth inning if it was a baseball game. Some of that stuff's going to be all muddy. So we always are trained, and we always help actors here take extra care with nailing that first moment, the first beat, the moment before. I mean, obviously making sure, like, I would never submit an audition where I didn't nail and believe the first words out of my mouth. Like if I ever flub the first line, that's not a take that I'm going to be submitting. Even if I like things later on, I'd be like, I want to nail that opening, because you never know as a casting director, are they watching all the tapes? Like they might be, if they don't buy that first line out of your mouth, it sounds like it was disconnected and you weren't really like grounded, or you didn't really know what you're saying or why you're saying it or who you're saying it. Or if it was just awkward, that might be the end of your audition and they might not even watch the rest. Even if you think you got some brilliant things that you did in the middle. And then same thing at the very end, if they get all the way in and then you botch the last ending, or if there was a key moment as it was scripted, some key realization or like an epiphany or a discovery or some big reaction at the end of the scene, or maybe it's something physical, something physically in the blocking that had to be done. If you don't nail that, then the last thing that they're going to remember is, oh, well, he didn't quite, it was all good, but then he kind of fucked up the end a little bit, or that was okay, but then I don't know about that last beat. So we want to talk about moment before and button, or first impressions, last look. So start
well
with.
Are there any, like, even before you say the first line, Lars, is there any moment before that you particularly favor?
Well, I think the thing that you got to think about as well is, and we're reminded of this through Tom all the time, is your background speaks before you, your frame speaks before you, your wardrobe and your hair and your makeup and lighting, all of that speaks before you. So look at all of that stuff first, because if you're entering into a frame that's poorly lit and the backdrop is really distracting, or it's like your kitchen or your dirty laundry in the backdrop and it's crappy lighting, or the lighting's all blown out because you're using natural light, and or there's a window behind you or any of that stuff, nail all the technical stuff first. And then I think it's a combo of, is there some kind of secondary action? Like, what are you doing? Or is the scene started at a party? You're at a party. Maybe you're dancing, or maybe you dance. You dance your way in. Yeah. Hey, I'll be right there. And then you're into the scene. So it's finding some secondary action to ground you. Like, we had one today where he was like a technician. So he was like fiddling with some wires and just actually doing some action there, and then looked up and delivered his first line. And then when in doubt, as Tom always says to us, when in doubt, just enter and speak your first line. Or you can be there as well, but be creative with that. And I think the mistake that a lot of people make is thinking that what they're doing is a mistake, and just make a strong choice, make a creative choice. And I would say, like, add a little moment before rather than worry that that's too much. Like, some people look at sides and they're like, this is where the start line is and this is where the end is, so I can't do anything before that and I can't do anything after. But what if they were just rolling and they didn't say cut at the end? Or what if they were just rolling at the beginning?
Well, even in Michael Shurtleff's book, he says that all great scenes start in the middle. Like, we don't want to get people into the scene, because then we're working to get them into the scene. We want to start hot and ready to go so that they're just propelled into this world.
Right. Which also means, what was I going to say? Shoot. I had something there.
Have there any been any favorite moment befores that you've seen in this room or in, during a session, Lars?
I mean, I'm always a big fan of if it's a group party or if it's like a dinner party scene, throw a little extra line in there, or just the tail end of a joke, like, oh yeah, you should see the other guy, and then into a line. Or if you're not the writer type, if you don't think you can come up with something that, I mean, I would always aim, if it's comedy, obviously, to get a laugh out of it. But even just a laugh, you're at a dinner party, instead of just starting there silently, it's just anyways. And then I know what I was going to say. The thing you don't want to see is, you never want to see an actor turn on camera. So you don't want to see me like, oh, I'm just here as an actor. And then now it's acting time and I have to be on. It's like, the scene is starting. Like, if they're seeing you, they're judging you, and you're already in, you are the character. So, versus like, whether it's an in-person audition or a self-tape, it's like, you don't want to be caught. It's a weird thing. You don't want to be caught not acting. You also don't want to be caught acting, but, you just got to realize that they're seeing everything. So you got to be in the scene. That, I don't know if I'm making sense right now, but.
One of my favorite moment befores that I've ever seen, in this room, I'll come over here just a little bit. Oop. Is someone just did that and turned into it. It was a cute little scene about, putting his son to bed, and it worked so well. I've never seen anyone do that in this room before, and it was incredible. And it propelled us into the scene. It gave us this sweet little moment, because he gave like a shh, and then they had this quiet little scene, and it was a beautiful beginning, and I had never seen anyone do that before, and I think that's so well done. And And I agree 100% with the laughing. It is one of my favorite go-tos. I think just even laughing at the top of a scene or somewhere in the scene as well. People laugh. If someone says something that's funny, laugh at it.
Right.
Because that makes it a human moment. That builds camaraderie. It laughing says so many things without saying a word. And I think that's what makes a great moment before is that it says so much without saying a single word.
Right. And the one of the best things about a moment before is if it's yours and it's creative and it's unique, it's going to be something that no one else does often. If all you're doing is the exact thing that it says where on the script it says start and nothing else, you can guarantee that your audition is going to start exactly the same as 100 other people. And when you're attempting to stand out and be the one person out of 500 who is given the gig, it's likely that that's not going to be enough. You'll be great. He did a solid job. Let's put him in the top 10 pile. But nobody gives a fuck about number 2 through 10 when you don't book the role. And they also don't pay you anything unless you get your $50 for a callback. So it's the other thing you can do is find if there is an entrance, like you can already start, you can start in frame and just turn into it. If it's just simple, like that, you can be sometimes it's.
Oh, and also with entrances, maybe sometimes don't just enter just like standing. Maybe you come in and it's just ahead. You look in.
Yeah, there's interesting ways. Be creative.
Yeah.
And find different ways, different viewpoints. It's like if the scene started with you, say it was like middle of a fight scene and you just been knocked down and you were getting up, it could just be like you can enter, like there's nothing to say that you can't, you can enter any way you want, and everyone is thinking like, oh, like am I allowed to do that? Like if you're ever asking, am I allowed to do that? Then you're on the wrong track. It's like, yeah, you're a creative human being. Tell a story creatively, visually, with the words, with your wardrobe, with your lighting, with your backdrop, with your strong choices, with your physicality. And that might mean your entrances, your exits, your first line, making sure that that first line read is there. Like you mentioned, you don't want to warm up, throughout. It's like when you go see top singers in a musical, for example, or just straight up singers, if you fuck up the first note, everyone goes, ugh. You can't, there's no opportunity to be like, oh God, for the first line or two, the first verse of that, she was way off, but now she found it. Now she's in tune. Like that is unacceptable. Like you have to nail it from the first thing that happens. And if that's your first words, or if that's a silent on camera entrance, or it could just be you thinking about something and showing some thoughts. Like sometimes it's, he's waiting nervously. Like how many scenes start with you waiting for someone else to show up and then, oh, there they are. And then in that case, I would make sure, like, if you are waiting for someone, let's see the moment of you seeing them. Yeah. Or the opposite is often you're entering looking for someone. So if you enter and then I just give the line right to you without ever, I need to show you, or I don't need to do anything, but it would be nice if we capture on camera the moment of you seeing that person and discovering them. So if you're coming to find someone at a party that you got a beef with, yeah, you can enter and just be like, hey, there you are. Or you can enter, oh, there you are. I see you. And then so that there's an actual moment of a discovery there. Just little things like that, like giving these little extra beats.
Because also that discovery of the person has a different relationship to it each time. Like if it's someone that you absolutely love and adore, like you're going to come in and be like, oh, there you are. Oh my God. Right. I'm so happy to see you. As opposed to someone that, as you just demonstrated, someone that you don't like, and you're about to get into a scuffle with them and hey, there you are.
Right. But showing us, like letting the camera see those moments and see those beats rather than missing out on those. What else can we say about Moment Before? I think one thing that I got called out on a lot, which I think I've changed now, is entering too much in a flurry. If your camera doesn't really like fast movements, so if you come in too fast, like if I say I'm flustered guy, and if I walk in and I'm just like it's like you never have any chance to see me, to get into relationship with me. Also remember that if you're framing, like I was in a wide when I was back here, but if I'm in a nice tight shot, I don't have all kinds of room for movement. It's like in a close up, you really got to be still. You're not moving around. So you got to give camera and the audience an opportunity to just drink you in and see you. Tom used to always call me out. It was like you enter like a whirling dervish, which is like an old like circus performer kind of thing. Where I'd want to be coming in doing all these physical stuff. And it's like there might be a time for that in a scene. But at the beginning, you need to establish a relationship with the audience. Let them see you. He often says, love can't hit a moving target. So it's like point your heart and your heart, hips and eyes at the thing, at the person, either your scene partner and or at the audience, so that they can drink you in. And when in doubt, start simple. If you're not sure about it, but I guess the lesson is don't overlook that, and always never overlook it. Like you'd never want to just do an audition and you didn't even think like, oh, how am I going to begin? And I think take it one step further, put a lot of time and energy and thought into that moment before and in the beginning beats, opening beats, because you don't get a second chance for a first impression. And the other thing I would say is if you're submitting more than one take, do different things on both of these. If I'm ever submitting two takes, I'll often, the beginning and the ending in both takes will be different. If I'm improvising something, I'm not improvising the same thing twice, because that just is not improvisation.
Nope.
That's just me planning something and doing it the exact same twice. Mm-hmm. And there's no point in doing that. If it's something that is unscripted, there is no point in doing it twice. Do it once and then do something different. And then they're like, wow, this guy's got a million hilarious ideas. He nailed all the scripted things that we needed, followed the story, followed the script, honored the script. So it's not like you're sliding the writers. But if you add a little thing at the beginning, you add a little thing at the end, and it's different every time, then they're like, okay, this guy, like, we can just roll the camera and this guy's bringing more to this than anyone else that we've seen. Mix it up and do different openings, different moment befores. No point repeating yourself twice. My least favorite direction on set is, let's do one more exactly like that one. I'm like, well, okay. But if we just got that one, why are we doing it exactly the same? It's like we're going to use two of the exact same takes.
Well, as someone that has said that a bunch of times, sometimes it's just, it's like you're already in the world. You're already of the mindset where you need to be. Let's take it further if we can.
Right.
Like, you're already there. You're already present in the moment. That's different than
saying let's do it like that, but exactly the same. Because what you just said, let's take it further, which is not take it exactly the same. I'm just saying, why would you ever do anything exactly the same? Unless you knew that camera didn't get it or sound didn't get it. There was a camera issue. The focus puller didn't nail the focus.
And that also happens. Yeah. And like, that's also something to wrap your head around. Because like, there's a lot of actors that show up on set and will start overthinking. And being like, oh, they want me to do it exactly the same way. I don't know what that means anymore. Did I do it wrong? What happened? And sometimes it's not you. It is all the other things that go into getting this one shot. Like,
right.
As you said, the lighting, the sound, camera angles, right. Everything.
Right. I mean, that example might just be a director wanting to be safe. That seemed like the one, but let's get one more just in case.
Yeah.
Somebody didn't hit the record button.
That happens all the time. We need a safety.
Right. All right. Let's move on to the button or the end. Mm-hmm. What can we say about this? So let's talk about two things. One is ending it as it's scripted, and one is adding a button, which in terms of like comedy or sketch comedy is adding your, like, if they didn't say cut, what would your next line be? Especially if, as the scene is scripted, if your character doesn't get the last line, if it's appropriate, throw in the next line. Now, a couple things is it's got to make sense.
Yep.
My personal opinion, being a big fan of comedic work, is that something that gets a laugh is really never going to fail. Like, if casting and production laughs at it, as long as it makes sense, like not something totally nonsensical that is out of the world of the scene or yes, breaking the scene or just not appropriate, that doesn't make sense. But if it's just the director didn't yell cut and you just said the next thing in character in the scene and it made sense to drive it forward, what would that be? And if it gets a laugh, that's like, that's why I love comedy, is because comedy is undeniable. If you're in a room of people and you say something and they laugh, it means it's funny because they laughed. And if they didn't, it means it wasn't funny because they didn't laugh. And what that also means is, you know, when they did laugh, they get that funny, fuzzy feeling. And it's very rare that someone's laughing at something you did. There's a difference between laughing at you and at your humor, I guess. But in the context of acting, if you say a line as an actor and production and or casting laughs at it, it's like, that's a pretty good indication that they like what you did because it had that reaction. So it's like, to me, there's nothing more scientific than did it work or didn't it work with a button, is did it get a laugh? If it did, great, kudos to you. But it's got to make sense. And I think the same thing is, don't do the same. If you are improvising a little button, don't do the same thing twice. Like, there's no point doing it two takes and you're like, hey, look at how creative I am with my improvising. And then you say the same thing twice. The other tip is, if you're wondering what to say, call back to something earlier in the scene. That's a very common stand-up comedy thing. So if earlier in the scene you were talking about how delicious this lasagna was, and then you get into a conversation about whatever the scene is about, and then go back to the lasagna at the beginning, or whatever happened at the beginning, you can go back to it at the end, is one way to think. If you're like, I never know what to say, just go back to something. How do you feel about what just happened? How do you feel about the character, your scene partner? We can also talk about leaving as well. I find way too many actors are excited to leave at the end of their audition, especially when it's scripted that they leave. And I don't know that you really ever need to. There might be a few times where, like, okay, the only thing that makes sense here, or if you see it as an opportunity, like the way in which you leave is a choice and is a creative choice and something that you can do per either physically or as a performer. But really, I think question whether or not you leave in the scene. I think often stay in a nice close-up, have your last thoughts, whatever you're thinking about. You think about TV, if it's two people, usually it's a two-person scene. They have an intense conversation. Then one of them leaves and then you hold on the other person and they're thinking about what they're thinking about, like, oh, what did he say? How do I feel about that? You know, like those last looks. And you want to get that shot. You want to be the one, you want to be the last shot of the scene. So just hold and have your thoughts, throw in a little button, have those last looks, give casting a nice look at you. And just remember, nobody ever got cast. There was never, I don't think, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I would wager to guess that no one was ever cast. No one ever said these words when they were going to cast someone. Oh, fuck yeah. Did you see the way that guy left frame? That was really good. You see the way that guy left? Like, that's not, nobody gets cast for how they are not there. You know, it's, you get cast for who you are, what you look like, what you do on camera, how you sound on camera, not how fast you got out of frame. So I just don't feel that that's a thing that you ever really need to think about. And you can give them that one last beat, that one last moment, that one last look at you. And remember, they're making the decision on you. So let them make the decision with you still in frame rather than fade to black real quick, you know?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people do it way too quick. Like, they're just so anxious to get, I got to run out of frame here. It's like, well, no, you don't have to. I'm a big fan of false exits too.
Oh, really? I'm not a huge fan of false exits.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. I mean, either it can either be mid scene where you think your character is the scene is done, mm-hmm. and you go, and then mm-hmm. there's something that brings you back, or just leaving. I mean, you could leave it's comedic, leaving, and then oh, one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's that works. That's what I mean by false exit is leaving and coming. I mean, really, it's not.
I mean, as long as you and I mean, as long as you do it creatively, that's what matters. It's just not something I am a huge fan of personally. Like, I just don't like it just because it feels very unnatural a lot of the times, and it just doesn't sit well with me a lot of the time,
right?
And so that's why I will do my best to eliminate it if I can.
In that case, then that's an execution. It's like, don't ever do it if you can't execute something that feels proper and feels natural. If you're doing something, if the way you're delivering a line or the way you're doing something physically, if you're not buying it and you don't like it, then you need to change it. Mm-hmm. And that's part of what's specific to actors, and every scene and every audition is specific to you. So you got to find what works for you. If there's something mm-hmm. that you don't like to do, then don't do it.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of all this. You could be listening to all this, and at the end of the day, it's your audition. So you could say, fuck what Lars says, fuck what Brandon says, fuck what casting says, fuck what production says. This is me, and this is how I'm going to do it, and you can take it or leave it. Mm-hmm. Now, I wouldn't say fuck production or fuck casting overtly, because that's a terrible way to make friends in the industry.
Yeah.
And I would never feel that way either, but it's like, at a certain point in this life and career, you need to just trust yourself, trust your decisions, trust your creativity, trust your storytelling abilities, and just be unapologetic to the world and not really mm-hmm. be worrying about, oh, what do they think? Do they like this? Do they not? Is this right? Is this wrong?
Yeah.
We were often taught the term, there's no right or wrong. There's only weak or strong. It's like, in art, what's right or wrong? There isn't right or wrong, but there's things that don't make you feel anything, and there's things that make you feel a lot on a spectrum. Like, they're very polarizing. Like, people fucking hate them or people fucking love them. That's where you want to be. You don't really want to be the vanilla guy in the middle that people are like, oh, I don't even really remember anything about what he said. Technically, he was fine. He said all the words. I could see him, but it was not memorable.
Yeah.
So again, really, and look at those, and you think cinematically too. Like, think about the movies and the scenes and the television shows that you love. Often it's the opening. Like, go back and look at the opening shot of movies and the opening of every scene. Pay attention to this when you're watching TV and movies, and look at the openings of scenes.
Mm-hmm.
What is the actor doing in their moment before? What are the last looks cinematically? Like, those are some of the most epic shots in movies. That last look that they get in that after that epic scene. Mm-hmm. So pay attention to those. And it's usually not. That's not usually the thing that did it. And you're like, wow, see how fast he ran off screen? Like, that's not. Nobody's getting booked that. It's the same thing as nobody's. Tom always says no one gets cast by how good their left ear looks. So, meaning all your eye lines should be tight, like within like 90 degrees to camera here. If I'm doing this, like, hey, I'll be with you in a minute. Like, you're not seeing any me there. I think you need to see your eyes. Mm-hmm. So throw that over here. Oh, just one second. I'll be there in a minute. Sorry about that. That's my guy over there, you know, just seeing your eyes. So moment before, moment after, buttons, put a lot of thought to beginnings and endings. And this, what I love about acting stuff is it applies to life too.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to a dinner party, think about your entrance. When you walk through the door, who you're going to be, who you're going to sound like, what's the smile on your face, Maybe you check yourself, make sure you don't got mustard stains all over you. Maybe you got a gift, you got some flowers, you got a bottle of wine. And when you leave, did you just sneak out with the old Irish goodbye? Did you say something stupid and everyone remembers you saying something stupid at the end? Or were you endearing and you say goodbye to everyone? You said everyone to everyone that you love them and had great goodbyes. And people think like, oh man, when he walked in here, he changed the molecules in the room and changed the whole vibe of the party. And when he left, it also changed the whole vibe of the party. And we would like to have him back. And that's a good way to think of casting too. It's like you've been invited to a party and they're looking for someone who's a fun person to be at a party. And yeah, ideally that fun party ends up to be 6 weeks on a movie shoot or 6 months on a television shoot. But you want to be someone that they want to see more of. And those first impressions and those last looks are going to be the things psychologically that sticks into people's minds. It's not going to be the tiny beat in the middle of a 5 minute scene that they're like, oh yeah, he really nailed that part. Mm-hmm. Maybe, but if you nailed that and you fucked up the beginning and you fucked up the end, then you're probably never going to get the chance to showcase yourself. So just be really mindful of that in all of your life. Yeah. And sweet. In your life, it's like, how were you born and how did you die? People think about that. Where did you come from the beginning of your life? And where were you at the end of your life? Like it all applies. Your moment before is right before you were born and your button is the last thing you say before you died. So nail those.
Well, when you put it like that, you kind of have to. Yeah. Okay. So how about we discuss a little something that's going on this weekend, Lars?
Ooh, you want to talk about Comedy Alley?
Yeah, let's talk about Comedy Alley. So, Lars, what is going on Friday here in the Alley?
Well, Friday, July 8th, we got a fantastic show here in Comedy Alley. We got Dan Rosen. You've seen him at Toronto Fringe. You've seen him on Amazon Prime and the Big Dumb Show. We've also got Nitish Sakuja. He's a regular here at Laughing Vikings. You've seen him at Just for Laughs, at Melbourne Comedy Festival, and on Sirius XM. And we got Sarah Ashby, who's performed at JFL 42, the 420 Comedy Fest, and the Brantford Comedy Festival. Of course, I'll be there hosting. You can grab tickets at laughingvikings.com/comedyalley. There's only 20 tickets per show, so you got to reserve your seats online. Go, 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 go right now. Go. Go, 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 go,
go, go. So Lars, now we have two shows going on this weekend. We had a Friday show and a Saturday show. Now, who's on that Saturday show, Lars?
Well, Brandon, this Saturday, July 9th, we got another humdinger. We got humming and dinging on the same show. It's a humdinger. People are fired up. We got Ernie Vicente. He's performed at JFL 42. You heard him on Sirius XM and on CBC. We got Leanne Maloudon, who's performed at JFL 42. And you've seen her on The View on ABC and also on CBC. And we got Jason Allen, who's performed at JFL 42. You heard him on Sirius XM. And he's also performed at the Edmonton Comedy Festival. Another stack show. And of course, I'll be there hosting. Only way to grab tickets is to reserve them online. And I know that there's a bunch of pre-solds for Saturday, so you got to go get them. Go to laughingvikings.com/comedyalley, and you can enjoy an unforgettable night of fun with friends in our intimate outdoor venue here in Tirana.
Tirana.
And for our actor friends, the one other thing I wanted to say about Comedy Alley is if you got a birthday coming up in July or August, let us know and you can book your birthday group. You can either book a 10-pack or you can book out the entire show just for you and your group. We can even do a private show either at your venue or your location, or you can just rent out the whole alley and it can just be you. We'll get rid of all the riffraff. But you got to let us know in advance to make sure that those tickets are available. So if you got a birthday coming up in July or August, you can go to the website, laughingvikings.com/comedyalley. You'll see a button there for a birthday special. If you got to get some extra details or you want to do a private show, then make sure to reach out to us directly and we can make your birthday unforgettable. Who doesn't want to spend a birthday in an alley, huh?
Right?
Huh?
Right?
In an alley.
Come on.
Come on. Come on, huh? Yes. And all the actors, again, make sure that you do register for Audition Hero. It's our workshop that we do a handful of times throughout the year. If you have any struggles or any anxiety with auditions, or maybe your auditions are killing it, but you just want to kill it a little bit more, this is an opportunity for you to up-level your entire audition systems and processes and your community that you work with as well. You'll have an opportunity to meet actors from across the world. Go to laughingvikings.com/auditionhero and you can register for that. We're going to start it on July 21st. We do those trainings live, but if you miss it, as long as you're registered, you'll get access to the replays as soon as they're up. But if you're there live, you're going to have an opportunity to win prizes and bonuses and all kinds of fun stuff. And the end of that Audition Hero workshop leads to the doors open in our next enrollment for Actors Audition Club. And you can jump the line and go directly to the front by going to laughingvikings.com/join. That's laughingvikings.com/join. And you'll get front of the line access. You'll be the first notified when we open those doors. You'll get access to some fast acting bonuses for getting enrolled. And you'll just hear about things that you wouldn't have heard about if you weren't on the VIP waitlist. So go to laughingvikings.com/join and you can hop on board. And also make sure that if you have not done it already, get out that giant wooden mallet and smash the shit out of that like, comment, subscribe button. Smash it. Smash it. Smash it.
Smash it good.
Smash it good. Smash it good. All right. That was episode 94. We'll see you next week. We'll see you at Comedy Alley this weekend, July 8th and 9th for those fantastic lineups. And we'll see you July 21st at the Audition Hero Workshop leading to our doors open of our next enrollment of Actors Audition Club. July is a heavy month. It's going to be a hot one.
Oh, also, I just opened a show at Fringe today. Oh, yeah,
you had your first show today. Tell us about it.
It was great. It was amazing. We had a very great crowd. It was a really fun show. Shout out to Stephen Elliott Jackson, who wrote and directed it. Todd Davies for producing. Tyler Check for the music. All of it's fantastic. And other performers such as myself. You'll see Nick Seraph, Olivia John, Jim Armstrong, Astrid Atherley, and we also have Nikki Hogan, who stepped in today and will be stepping in for a couple shows because we had a conflict with one of the performers. She stepped in. She had maybe 4 days. She crushed it today. So congrats to Nikki Hogan. She was awesome. She's actually the sister to one of my old roommates. So that was also really funny. So congrats to everyone. Congrats to the Prince's Big Adventurer. And I'm sure it's going to be a great run at the Toronto Fringe from now until the 17th of July.
Nice. Grab your tickets. And we actually have one more thing. We want to have one more segment. One of my business mentors, my business coach, is James Wedmore through his signature program, Business by Design, that I've been a member for. And when you enroll in his program, one of the things he gives in his nice little welcome box is a deck of cards. And on every deck of cards, there's a little picture and a little, a little tidbit or pearl of wisdom type thing. So I'll show you mine here.
You got a dragon? Oh! I'm so jealous.
It's a dragon and a guy fighting a dragon. And it says, "What is this preparing me for?" And the quote is, "Instead of asking, why is this happening to me? Ask yourself, what is this preparing me for? It's all about perspective." And I love that. So it's instead of all this shit happens in your life and instead of thinking, oh, why me? Poor me. Why is this happening? This always happens. This sucks. Think, what is the opportunity here? What is the lesson here? What is this leading to me? What is this test, the test that this universe is giving me right now? Why is it giving it to me? Is it to prepare me and bolster me for something better? So in the acting world, you might not book something and the lesson might be, instead of, oh, woe is me, why am I not getting the role? Maybe it's, well, what is this preparing me for? It's preparing me for a bigger and better role because I got to take the feedback from not booking this one and throw it into my training and my craft and my preparation. It might also be something like, you didn't book this role And now, maybe because you didn't book that role, something is going to come along that if you had have booked that role, you wouldn't have been available for. So just the idea that you never know why things are happening for you. But if you're always looking for the silver lining and you're always looking for the lesson and how does this better you, nothing can really ever happen to you. It's kind of like a silver bullet where nothing can ever happen to you that gets you down. Because even when the shittiest things happen, you're like, oh, this is going to make me stronger. And if you've ever read like pretty much everyone's best-selling books or all these authors or gurus out there, almost without exception, the shittiest thing that ever happened to them became the thing that made them famous or made the book happen or made the movie happen. It's like everyone's low point ends up being when they look back in their life, oh, thank God this happened to me, because that's the day my entire life changed and forced me to up level, forced me to learn, forced me to grow, forced me to throw that old life away and go chase this new life. So just have that perspective. I love that. Thank you, James Wedmore from Business by Design. Make sure you follow James Wedmore. He's great, especially if you're a business, which if you're an actor, you might not have it registered yet as an incorporation, but you're a business. If you're an artist, you're a solopreneur out there. You got to look at your life as a business. So ask yourself, what's the lesson? You got one too?
I do. It is a picture of the perfectionist, and he's very downtrodden. He says, why is this happening to me? And then there is a scientist and he's saying, hey, what can I learn from this? And I love that. And it says, when A happens in your business, which one are you? The perfectionist is always more concerned with the opinions and thoughts of others. They fear rocking the boat of being judged by anyone, and as a result, they play small. They always ask, is it good enough? What if they don't like it? It's not working. Why is this happening to me? The scientist has removed their personal identity from business and marketing, and with a commitment to serving their customers, is always looking for better, for more effective ways of serving. They objectively observe and look for lessons. They are always asking what worked, what didn't, what is the big takeaway or lesson here, and how can I grow from this? Which one are you? And I absolutely love that. And it really ties into what we've been talking about today. Don't be the perfectionist. Don't be someone that's like, oh, are they gonna like my audition? Am I doing what they asked for? Am I hitting all the points that they wanted me to hit? Stop worrying about that. Experiment with the scene and make it your own. Make it unique. Make it fun for you, because that's going to really propel you and propel your career.
Yeah, I like that. I like how our cards are basically they're very similar too. We got it was a similar theme. The thing about perfectionism too is it's a fallacy. A lot of people don't put things out there, especially on social media. Like maybe you've written something or you've shot something and you don't want to put it out there because you're worried about feedback. And that's just an excuse. It's a procrastination excuse or like a self-sabotage excuse. And another coach of mine, Brendan Burchard, he talks about perfectionism, how it's like people who say, oh, I'm a perfectionist. That's why I'm taking so long. I'm still working on this. I'm still working on it. I'm a perfectionist. You're actually not a perfectionist, because in order to find out if something is perfect, you need feedback for it. So you have to put it out there to get feedback. Mm-hmm. You put it out there, get some feedback. Then you go back to the drawing board and you realize, okay, I need to tweak this and this. And then you put out version 2.0. Then you put out version 3.0. That's why like every software company, they put out a beta version, and then they have version 1.0, and then they have version 2.0, and they continually improve it. That's perfectionism. Isn't not doing anything and not putting anything out there until it's perfect, because you don't know if it's perfect until you're getting real world and real market feedback. So as an artist, that can apply to like, yeah, you want to be putting yourself out there and taking swings. You got to watch that a little bit with auditions. If you don't want to audition, if you haven't taken classes and you don't have some understanding of the craft, you don't want to audition too early because you might burn a bridge or two. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to err on one side or the other, I would err on being audacious, not on being the perfectionist.
Yes. All right. I believe that is it for this episode. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in today. We love you. We appreciate you. Please smash that subscribe button. Give us a like. Hit us up on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. Or check out laughingvikings.com and any one of our affiliate links. Thank you so much. We will see you all for episode 95.
And now for the last looks. Remember, first impressions and last looks. Podcast over now.